Should we stay together? Is the question often asked by couples in distress. But few couples ask the question, should we get together?
Today on Real Family Talk, we will discuss 7 questions every couple should ask before they get engaged. Join us. While the marriage rate is declining and more people are choosing cohabitation or singleness, a recent Gallup poll showed that the majority of Americans are married or they want to get married someday.
According to the research from the Pew Research Center, the top reasons people make the decision to marry are because they want love and companionship. They also have a desire to have children someday, or they get married for convenience or for finances.
From a biblical perspective, we know that God created us to be in an intimate relationship. He said in Genesis 2:18, "It is not good for the man to be alone. I will make him a helper suitable for him." So truly, marriage is not a human social construction. It is a divine invention.
Despite the fact that most people who get engaged have some notion of the sacredness or seriousness of marriage, many slide rather than decide into marriage, says Scott Stanley, a notable marriage researcher.
Indeed, most couples' sense of reality is distorted by wishful thinking and fantasy. We call it the illusion of love, which is based on fairy tales and romantic comedies or other misconceptions presented on the screen and in social media.
Look, folks, we're not trying to trample on anyone's dreams, and we of all people believe that marriage should be fun and satisfying. However, if marriage is going to be stable, we need to ask the right questions before we move forward. In other words, we need to go into marriage with our eyes wide open.
That's right. Eyes wide open. People often say to us or write to us and tell us they're considering whether they should leave or stay in their marriage. Then they tell us they did not ask the right questions or didn't know certain things about their spouse before getting married, or that they ignored the red flags that were very obvious because they were in love with the idea of being in love.
Wow, that one always gets me. It's like running a red light or jumping into the ocean when they raise the red flags and tell you it's too risky to swim. Okay, I think we should get to the questions every couple or individual should ask before they get engaged. So let's start with the first one. The first question that couples should ask, should we get premarital education or counseling?
Well, you know, that's almost like a no-brainer. It feels like, okay, so I am going to buy a car, but I don't have a driver's license and I don't know how to drive, so should I take driver's ed so that I can pass and get a driver's license so I can drive my new car, or should I just go out and buy a car?
And you know what? That is just so true, you know, or not looking to see what's under the hood, as they say, right? I mean, you've always bought our cars, so I don't know where else to go with the car analogy, I know you always do a lot of research and you figure out, you know, whether or not this car is reliable, whether or not it's going to stand the test of time.
It has all the things that I want a car to have and that I believe it has a high rating and is in fact going to do what it says it's going to do. How do you know a man is going to do what he's going to do in marriage? Or how do you know a woman is going to do what she's going to do in marriage or what you're expecting? Unless you have some form of a framework, if you will, a system that actually works that can tell you whether or not all the pieces are there, all the ingredients that will bake the type of cake you want to have.
Absolutely. And another thing that we often say to couples is that they should do pre-engagement counseling. And
that's
people
correct.
Feel a little uncomfortable with this. And we've had some people say to us, oh, but isn't that a little pushy? And I'm thinking, but again, if you really want to know if this is a relationship that you want to pursue, don't you want to know that before you get engaged?
Well, here's how I like to speak about that. You know, life is made up of time. So when you waste time, you waste life. And life is limited. You know, it's just a short dash, hours, months, a few years. So you don't want to waste any of that time. So I think that instead of diving in and saying, we're going to get engaged, well, before you get there, how about pre-engagement counseling? So you know whether or not to invest more time in this relationship if, in fact, you don't have the same values, if, in fact, you're not going in the same direction.
Right. You know, especially before you start to, before you reserve the church, before you spend money on an engagement ring or engagement watch, you know, all of those things should be put off so that you can give yourself a real opportunity to get to know the other person. So we want to say the reason why we believe in pre-engagement counseling, and people have questioned us, so this is our chance now to say it, is because once you get engaged, it's really difficult to really go through the necessary process of finding out who the other person is. Because now your entire focus is on planning a wedding.
Your focus is on planning,
planning a wedding. Not even the marriage.
No.
Planning a wedding.
And the reason why it's important to have pre-engagement is because you want to know what you're investing in and whether or not you do want to invest.
You want to make that investment.
Yes, absolutely.
Right. Well, we better move on to the next question. And the second question you should ask yourself is, do you like yourself?
Yeah,
do you like yourself? So sometimes people look for a relationship to complete them. And that's one of the most ridiculous sayings that, you know,
Hollywood has given to us. You complete me.
Right. And it's just the funniest thing to me. And I think it's sweet, but it's a problem.
Yes.
Because
it's delusional.
Yeah.
It's delusional.
If you're looking for the other person to complete you, it means that there are some things within yourself that probably needs a little bit of work.
Right.
And so it's very important for people to do some self-work. If there were traumas in your childhood, if there was abuse, or if your parents got divorced, or, you know, you grew up in a home where it was a little disorganized, that's going to have some long-lasting impact on your life, and it will impact your relationship.
Right. So what are we suggesting? Go to counseling.
Yeah.
Find a counselor that can help walk you through these things.
Right.
So that you are happy with yourself, you at least understand yourself, before you bring somebody else in that relationship with you.
Absolutely. What's number three? What's the third thing that...
Well, hold that thought, because after the break, we will continue with more questions about what we should know before getting engaged. Stay with us.
We're talking about questions you should ask before getting engaged. Let's continue with our list. So the third question, I think you were going to take that.
Well, do you like your partner's personality or temperament? See, many times we're in love with love and, it's a good looking guy. It's a good looking girl or young woman. And we say, sure, let's go for it. We feel good when we are with them. And
we totally ignore
all the red flags.
All the red flags.
Right.
Now, people also feel uncomfortable with us using that terminology. We heard someone once say, well, people always speak about the red flags.
And they
what about the green flags?
No. You see, the green flags are there. You know, it's as yeah, if you're buying a car, you know, they're, oh, the seat the, is
yeah,
nice.
They all, yeah.
The seat is nice. The color is nice.
It has a steering wheel. It has an engine.
These are green flags.
Right.
But we're talking about red flags.
Yeah.
What does it not have?
Yeah.
How long is it going to go before it breaks down? So do you like your person's personality and their temperament? How do you know? Well, go to a place where you can have some formal education, or someone can be a coach and walk you through that, so you know what your temperament is, so you know what your personality is, and you can know how to adjust if you need to be adjusting, or if you know how to abort this relationship before you get on too far.
Right, right. And also the more time you spend together.
Yes.
So you really want to spend some time together. And some experts say a year or so before thinking about getting engaged. Now, we had a relatively short engagement, but we're not going to talk about that today. And, you know, I always say that God looks out for babies and fools.
But it's more than that. It's also, it all depends on where in your life you are
I think we should stick to a year or more.
A year or more is fine.
But we're actually not saying that you should date someone for a year before figuring out if you like them.
Yeah,
we're saying you should probably spend a year before getting engaged, at least a year. Now, we don't want to give any timing, but what we're saying is the more time you spend together, the more you get to know that person.
Sure.
And in fact, we often say to our couples, call your boyfriend or call your girlfriend, your fiance in the morning.
Not a fiance yet.
Call your boyfriend or your girlfriend at 6 a.m. in the morning. And see how they respond. Or, you know, call them in the evening after a long day. Or how do they react to circumstances in their lives?
Right.
You know, there are some people that are more prone to being happy people. And there's some people that are always down. So if you're comfortable with that temperament and that personality, then you know that maybe you will have a good time in marriage. But too often people ignore that. And they might say, he was just having a bad day. And yes. So.
But every day is a bad day.
But every day is a bad day.
At a certain time of the day.
Right.
So you want to make sure.
Right. And also another thing that people do, they say opposites attract.
Well, this is true.
And we know from.
And we say this all the time. We say opposites attract before marriage. After marriage, opposites repel.
Yeah.
Because we want the other person to be like us. And this is one of the problems.
That's correct. Yes. And so, you know, again, that's another fallacy that we say, well, you know, they fill the gaps for me, you know, and so you need to be sure that you're going to be okay after marriage with the fact that this person is a morning person and you're an evening person.
Because going back to opposites attract without saying too much is that, look, when you get married, you want to make sure that you agree on the same things. Opposites are opposite about the same issue. How do you do the dishes? You know, how do you do your enchiladas? You know,
or do you prefer the mountains or the beach?
That's on vacation.
On vacation.
That's
and
right.
So again, we're not saying that if you are married and you're opposite that you should terminate your relationship. Definitely not. You need to figure out how to make this work. But
we're talking to people who are not yet married.
Yes.
So here's another one.
And if you want to make it easier for yourself.
Here's another one that's really important. What? How does your family feel about this guy or this woman that you're seeing? Your parents, your siblings, your cousins, your friends. How do they feel about this person, about your relationship with this person? Don't go solo.
Yeah.
You know, the people who love you, the people who know you, they know what's going to work for you. And they can get a feel about the other person that you perhaps, because you're so in love, you're not paying attention to. So find out from your dad, from your mom, from your brother, sister, from your friends, your cousin. Do you like Mary? Do you like John? What do you think about them? Or they will tell you if you allow yourself to be spoken to.
Right. And sometimes, even though we may think that our parents are unreasonable, every once in a while they may be, but you still need to listen to them. If you have respect and regard for your parents, for your siblings, for your friends, then you really need to listen to the counsel that they're given to because they are a part of your village.
Yes.
And believe it or not, when you get into marriage and this marriage gets difficult, those are the people that you're going to need and that you're going to rely on for support.
Right. And you want to have the kind of relationship that has a history that said, you were there for me at the very beginning, and you're here for me now. But if you dismiss them and didn't pay any attention to them, you're going to be less prone to calling them and getting involved with them and asking for help if, in fact, you need help. Another very important one is, do you have the same faith? Are you...
Now, that's your area.
Are you members of the same faith? You know, I've done a lot of research in this area, and some of my graduate research. In fact, my doctoral research was on this, and whether or not individuals who believe in God the same way, have the same patterns of church attendance, you know, they have higher levels of marital satisfaction and marital stability than people who don't. And the reason for this is that most people make their decisions based on their values. And those values are usually based on how they believe about God, what they believe about God. So if you're marrying someone, make sure that at least you have similar values about God. And I won't even say that you are members of the same church or the same denomination, because you have people from the same faith and the same church who have different values. I'm not sure why, but so find out if this person is a Christian the way you are a Christian, because that is going to loom large in your relationship in the days ahead.
I think that's what I really like about your research, because we had a question at some point from someone who said, you know, she married
someone
from her church, you know, it was the same faith. And we still suggest that you marry someone from the same faith.
Yes, absolutely.
At least you know, the more things you have in common, the better.
The easier it's going to be.
But even someone from the same faith may believe differently than you do.
That's
they
right.
may believe in God differently. They may worship differently. They
yes.
may like a different type of music.
Or they may not be
different things
yes,
on
may,
the day of worship yes, that you, than
yes,
you do.
Yes. And they may not be as committed to certain values as you might be. So make sure you have enough time to talk about these things.
Yeah. When we come back from a short break, we will share more questions you should ask before getting engaged. Stay with us. We recently published a couple's devotional that addresses many of the questions we are sharing with you today. This would be a good resource for couples at any stage of their relationship. Even if you're single, you might learn something about having healthy relationships. So we were on question number 6, because we're talking about 7 questions that couples should ask before they get engaged.
Right.
So the 6th question we want to ask is, what are your hopes, dreams, and goals
right.
in life?
Yeah.
Do you want to have children?
Right.
Do you want to live in the country or the
city? Yeah.
You know, are you very career oriented? Does
right.
one want to stay home with the children, or do you believe your children should be homeschooled?
Yeah.
These are important issues for people to talk about.
You know, these are some of the things that we really need to talk about. You know, I know people who got married, and after 4 or 5 years of marriage and 2 children, the wife wanted to have more children and the husband did not want to have any more children. And apparently this is not something they spoke about before getting married. And in fact, before getting engaged, so that they had an idea of where they were going, what kind of life they wanted to have. So these goals and dreams and aspirations and what exactly your marriage is about or your life is about is important.
And people should also be honest.
Yeah.
So again, people are often afraid to ask these direct questions because they're afraid of losing the relationship.
Right.
In fact, we often hear from people why they don't want to get pre-engagement counseling or even premarital, because they're afraid that the relationship is going to end. But what we say is, isn't it cheaper for it to end now?
Yes.
And not just cheaper. I mean, it's very painful.
Well, not only you're
to go
invested.
Through
yes.
a difficult, distressing marriage
right.
or
right.
divorce.
Right.
So be honest, because we also know people where they kind of just gave in. You know, someone said they didn't want to have children, and the other person said, okay, yeah, I'll be
yeah,
fine with
I
it.
I can live with that.
And then a few years down the road, they want to have children, and then it creates all kinds of stress in the relationship.
Well, because they all along wanted to have children. They just
kind of said it was okay.
Oh, compromise.
Right. So you need to be really
yeah.
honest. And I understand that people do change.
Yeah.
Sometimes people change how they feel, especially women. Sometimes they believe they don't want to have children, and then as the years go by, they want to have children.
You know,
but it's really important
yeah.
to be honest
yeah.
with yourself and
yeah.
with your mate, your
yeah.
partner.
And, you know, I'm laughing because I'm thinking about when we started dating, and this is before we got engaged, and I asked you, I was driving you someplace, and I asked you, so how many children would you like to have?
And
what did you tell
me? I said
3
children. There are 3 kids in my family,
yeah.
and I wanted to have 3.
Do you remember what question you
and
asked me? No, you remember the question?
I said, how many children do you want to have?
Well, I said, I want to have 1. So what? We compromise, then we have 2.
That's correct.
All right,
that's
but correct. We knew
but
that.
We decided that.
We knew that before we got engaged. Before we got engaged.
Before we got married.
You knew.
But you know what? It wasn't fair because you were already a marriage counselor. So you know what? We should tell the audience that this man actually made us like we were on our dates. We would read through like marriage counseling books.
So premarital inventories. This is all my way of making sure whether or not this was going anywhere.
Yeah.
I didn't have any time to waste. You know, life is precious.
This is true.
So how do you feel about this? How do you feel about that? You know, how many kids do you want to have?
No, it was really cool, too, because you used to take me to church to pray.
I did. Yeah. In fact, we were in New York City, and there are beautiful cathedrals in New York City. And I used to take Elaine to St. John's.
The Divine.
This Gothic cathedral on the Upper West Side of Manhattan. And we would pray there.
I must say that I know it was a spiritual thing, but it was also very romantic.
Oh, worth it.
So I have to confess that. I thought it was a very cool romantic thing. But what do you expect when you're dating a pastor, right?
That's right.
Last question. Very important question. Do you believe that marriage will be difficult? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And are you willing to work hard to save your marriage?
Yes.
That is one of the most important of these questions. They're
Absolutely.
All important.
Absolutely.
But do you believe that marriage will be difficult? Almost every single premarital couple we speak to will say what?
Oh, we really love each other.
Yeah.
You know, it's not going to be like that
It's going to be different with us.
Yes.
You know, it's not going to be difficult for us. We hear people say that all the time. Yeah. I don't mean to be
a killjoy or anything.
Yeah, to be mocking anyone. But folks, marriage is hard.
Yeah.
It's hard. And you know what
makes it hard? I just wanted to jump in. You know what makes it hard? What makes it hard is that we are individuals and we all have likes and dislikes. And
selfish, sinful individuals.
That's it right there. You know, we want it our way and we know we are right. And
because I know that the way that my family folds the towels.
Right.
Is the right way.
Right.
There is only one way to fold towels.
You know what? When you were with your family, you thought they were crazy.
I did.
You know, you fought them about the way they folded towels until you get married.
That's right.
And then all of a sudden, the way you did it in your home is the right way to do it.
That's right.
Let's speak a little bit about commitment because that ties in with commitment.
Yeah. Yeah. So when we talk about commitment, we talk about two faces of commitment. We talk about dedication. And that's the part everyone loves.
Yeah.
The romantic part. I do it because I'm in love, because I care so much for you.
Oh, she smells so nice.
And we need dedication. Dedication is so important because it really adds to the satisfaction,
Absolutely.
The joy, the happiness in the relationship.
Yes.
But there's another side of commitment that is equally as important, and we call it constraint commitment.
Right.
And constraint are those things that keep the relationship going, even when dedication is low. That's why this is so important, because every single relationship is going to go through downtimes.
That's right.
Every single relationship is going to experience challenges.
And just very quickly, just so you know, constraint will be something like, we committed to be
we
in
took
this.
Vows.
We took vows to be in this relationship forever. We took vows. Yes, absolutely. So, or it's a lot easier for us to make it together as a couple as we pool our resources together. So that's
right.
That's
and another constraint might be we have children.
Yes.
And we want to stay together for the children, not only for the children, but staying together for the children is important.
That's right. So marriage is a wonderful gift from God and an exciting adventure. However, we want to encourage you to get and have as much knowledge about marriage as it's possible before taking this important step. The Bible says in James 1:5, if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives generously to all without reproach, and it will be given him.
That's all for today's Real Family Talk. Join us again when we'll share more about strengthening families and inspiring hope. See you next time.